Welcome to the Refuel Worship Podcast, where we believe being together, being encouraged, and being equipped matters.
Hey, hey, welcome to the Refuel Worship Podcast. I'm your host, David Cummings, and I'm here with my friend, Chris Lehane.
Chris Lehane, back again this week, super excited. But Dave, we are even more excited because this is the season of upgrades.
It is.
And we got an upgrade this week.
We did.
Brent is not available to be here today.
Did he get fired?
I think he's like...
Did he just take a nap today?
I don't know if it's funny to joke around about somebody getting fired.
That is not funny at all.
How dare you?
He's not here.
He's not here. So we got an upgrade. So we are excited to have another one of our Refuel Worship Conference teammates here, Becky Graves. And she's going to tell a little about herself and kind of what she's been doing. So.
Yeah.
Becky, Hello. What have you been doing? Who are you?
Hello, everyone. I don't know if I'm... Brent's really great for the record, right?
He is. He is really great. But you're an upgrade.
I mean,
let's be honest.
I don't know. Sorry, Brent.
Brent, if you're listening, we do love you.
Well, I mean, yes, we do.
Oh. Wow.
But Becky, share a little bit about who you are. Chris mentioned that you're part of the Refuel lead team. Not everyone who listens to this may know that there's a leadership team made that helps kind of guide and lead the conference. So you're part of that lead team, but you also have other roles. You're a wife and a mother.
True.
And there's more I'll let you share.
Yeah, I am all those things. Happily so. I also direct the worship arts program at Bethel University. Bethel is usually where Refuel Conference has been held for the last how many years?
10 years.
10 years Ten? This year.
Okay. 10 years this year.
Let's go. 10.
Ooh. So where the Chick-fil-A sandwiches are served and good worship happens during Refuel, that's the university I teach with. So work with students who want to be in ministry, in creative ministry, in church ministry. So that's super great, super fun, love it. And I'm also a worship leader at a local church around here, Restore Church. Yeah. So,
And you have experience working as a worship leader, worship pastor in a large church.
Yes.
And then now you're in a smaller church context.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is super, I think, informative and it's something that shapes us as worship leaders. And I think in a really positive way. Mm-hmm. So you've got experience in both of those worlds. So. Yep. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff today. But as part of that, part of one of the things we like to do is we like to share about the highs and lows, the wonders and blunders of ministry.
Love it.
Wonders and blunders.
That's probably happened to so many people, like for real.
Yeah.
Just not us.
Bong.
So speaking of a bong, but like the sound.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Let's, so on Sunday.
Different terms, man. Different terms.
Try again.
So back up. Let's start all over. No. Oh, it's too late for that. So on Sunday, as I normally do, this is a blunder. On Sunday, as I normally...
Let's be honest. What you just said was a blunder.
That was. Congrats. You already did it.
But continue. Go on Sunday.
You did it live, everyone.
You did it live. So I'm praying, as I normally do. Normally, I'll welcome the team. This is for the rehearsal. I'll welcome the team real quick. Okay, glad you're here, guys. Hey, I want to pause and pray, and then I throw it to our lead audio guy or gal. They lead us through a line check, but I'll always pray.
Yeah.
So one of our guitar players came in just a couple minutes before rehearsal started. So he was still setting up as I'm getting ready to pray, 7 a.m. in the morning. And so I'm about 5 seconds into my prayer. Lord, thanks for this morning. We're so honored. You know, thank you for this day. I don't remember what I'm praying. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, with my eyes closed, I hear a bong. And I look over, and our guitar player's guitar...
It or was, boing.
Yeah.
Boing. I look over and his guitar that was on him is laying face down in front of him, right by his pedal board. And so then I kind of like, Lord, I kind of finish the prayer and go over to him. But when it happened, it actually broke for guitar players out there. You know what a tuning peg is. It just, it snapped off one of the tuner pegs on his like fairly expensive Gretsch guitar.
Yikes. Ooh.
And so then, so this is a blunder thing. Then we had to figure out, well, what do we do? Because it was out of tune. So I had, fortunately, I have a couple guitars in my office, so I was able to go and bring one in for him to use. So he got through the morning, but he has to get his guitar repaired.
So what I hear you saying is strap locks.
Yes.
Are a necessity when playing guitar.
Yeah, that would be helpful. He put it on, but it didn't get clipped on all. Like he put the strap, you know, on, yep. but he didn't realize it didn't clip all the way on, and then
not the full snap. Yep.
It just fell off.
I mean, let's just be honest though. Like if you're a guitar player, or like, I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be a guitar player, but they're like your children, and it's like something breaks and you're just like, I got to take it to the ER.
And it's as expensive as the ER too.
Sometimes.
For real. That's true.
So that was a little, I guess you could say a blunder that happened on Sunday. We had to figure out how to navigate that. And I had to lead a volunteer through that. And fortunately we had the resource. So he was able to navigate the Sunday. It was great. But he'll have to use that guitar again next week because he got to get his guitar repaired this week. He has another guitar, but he doesn't like it as much. But anyways, but there's also like a wonder for us. And you're going to share here in just a moment, Becky.
I'm excited
to have you share. But for us, a little wonder was this Sunday we had water baptisms that took place in our service. And for the first time, we were able to baptize two Hispanic individuals who are part of our Hispanic church plant. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time for us.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was really cool. And it was bilingual. So like, they were talking in Spanish and then it was being translated. It was just like, I was watching our lead pastor, like he's sitting in the front row and just, I mean, he is snotting it up. It's just great. Like he's like wiping his eyes and I'm like, yeah. And just, but it was because it was just such a cool, I mean, those, water baptism is so special. I think anytime you experience that in a worship service, and it's just an example of an illustration of God changing people's lives. And that is such a powerful thing to happen in a worship service. So that was a wonder moment. It wasn't really a musical moment, but it was a wonder and a blunder for us. Becky? For sure.
Oh man, recently? Where do I? Recently, yeah. Let's hone in the last 15 years. Oh man. Well, recently, I mean, some context is like I stepped out of vocational ministry for probably about 4 years, and so I'm stepping back into it in my current worship leader, worship director role. So there are a lot of things that I've been teaching my students for the last 4 years good. That I am now getting to, you know, do again. And so there's that added pressure of anytime you're on stage, I hear my own voice and then hear them watching me. Can you hear people watching you? But you know
absolutely.
What I'm saying.
Absolutely.
I totally can.
Yeah.
Thank you. You sure can.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So there's all that, but, it's been two weekends in a row where just some stuff has happened. Like the first time I was doing a greeting moment after the worship set was done. So I prayed, feeling great. And then, you know, they want the greeting that moment before the message to feel a little more casual, a little less like, greet your neighbor, sit down. So it's more like, hey, so we're going to have some candy if you need to refill your coffee.
So you're saying this, right?
Yeah, that's the vision for it. So I'm saying
I want to go to her church. Yeah. So there's candy. That's all I heard.
Okay, it's got some Skittles. Yeah. But I said, yeah, candy, go refill your coffee. And if you need to go potty, you can do that too on the mic, live stream in front of everyone. And then I quickly was like, yeah, sorry. I have a 4-year-old.
That
so,
was your mom moment.
You can go potty. Go ahead. Just go do that. And then another blunder, I didn't even realize it, but I introduced two new songs in a service. That's a big no-no in our world. It's a big no-no. So I was like, sorry, everyone, but also we're going to do it. So
we're committed.
And they were fine.
We're moving forward, guys.
Yeah. We made it through it.
Made it through it.
So there's a couple of blunders. Yeah. Is there anything on the side? Like the wonder, it can be something very simple. Like, hey, God really met us in this moment. Yeah. Maybe it was just something really beautiful, something simple. It could be something significant.
I would say maybe while she's thinking about that, I just want to affirm that saying potty is definitely not as bad as saying bong. So
that's true.
I'm just saying. So.
But that was the sound of the guitar.
David, no, we're moving.
I've never heard bong. I've heard boing.
He said, speaking of bong.
It
was probably more of a thump. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like just crash. But if David.
I'm recording the sound and bringing it in next week.
If you ever say bong in one of your services.
Speaking of bongs.
And if,
Lord.
If you still work there after doing that, I will. We're going to turn that into worship props and that will become.
That was just so good. Chris and I both just made eye contact and said, I don't know.
That's right. I don't think we can move on from that. But anyway, a wonder.
Wonders,
yeah, sure. Becky, you got a wealth of
love.
Those. I just want to hear.
Oh, there's so many. You know, for every blunder, there's always 10 wonders.
That's what we hope.
At least you hope for that, right?
That's definitely what we hope for.
Depends on your season. No, a couple of mine has been, first of all, you know, you remember those seasons where somebody like believed in you more than you believed in yourself?
Yeah.
And they said, no, you can do this. And you were just like, okay. So I feel like that's a lot of what I've seen happening with some of my students. These are just young adults. And so I'm like, yeah, do this. And they're like, but, and I'm like, do it. And so I can see them like stepping into that, like they trust me, which is just so cool because you work so hard to build trust.
Yeah.
But then also then they trust me to step out enough, but then also start leaning on like just divine identity and calling. And I'm just watching that happen in real time. And it's just really cool. So that's like one of the best parts of the job, hands down.
Love yeah, it. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, for me, going back to this just this past Sunday and kind of going off what we talked about in the last episode, just that kind of that spontaneous worship, like mm-hmm. we came in Sunday morning and mm-hmm. I just felt like there was going to be like a moment in between two songs that would lend itself well just to kind of pause. But as we moved into that moment, like we did this last week was a lot about Thanksgiving, even though it's not like the Thanksgiving Sunday.
Right.
But we were talking about Thanksgiving. And so. We were doing, we did Hallelujah for the Cross and then Oh Praise the Name. And mm-hmm. then we were going to go into How Good Is He and mm-hmm. just felt like, man, this is just a good moment. Let's just, as we think about, you know, praising him for what he's done, let's just pause and kind of threw it out to our congregation and just say, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to take these next 30 or 60 seconds just between you and God. You know, not, you don't have to verbally speak it out, but just tune your heart to his right now and just speak some thanksgiving and thankfulness back to him. And then we went into How Good Is He, and it was just seemed like a really sweet move of the spirit and just moment right there. And so it was one of those things, you know, kind of coming off of, I think, you know, we've shared we're kind of on the tail end of our worship center, renovations and upgrades and stuff like that. And so this was our last week of doing kind of an acoustic feel. And I mentioned like, you haven't done that for a while, mm-hmm. but it just seemed like, you know, you kind of add all those different things together and it just was a right mix. And so just kind of walking back and thinking like, God, thanks for that moment. That was cool just to be able to sit back. And I think it just, again, we're in such that fast paced world mm-hmm. that sometimes even as worship leaders, like I got to get to the next song. Cause if I don't get to the next song, then, you know, I might be cutting into the message time or whatever, but yeah. Just to kind of pause and be like, man, let's just 30, 60 seconds. Like for some people, this is the pause they need in their week
right.
as they start it. So it was good.
That's really good. So if you didn't catch last week's podcast and you want to hear the discussion that Chris, you and I and Brent had about how we
downgraded Brent. I mean, Brent, we love you.
Oh boy.
How we approach like building spontaneity space for that into our worship sets. Mm-hmm. I think go check out last week's podcast.
Yeah.
But that's a really simple and very practical way to start. Like maybe just creating, like you said, a little bit of space between songs and invite the congregation to maybe in their own words say something fresh to the Lord. So that's really, really good. So that's a segment we've called Wonders and Blunders. We could probably keep talking about this.
It's a good one.
But we want to move on to the next bit.
Spectacular. Give me 14 of them right now.
Woo-hoo! Was that okay for me to go, what?
I don't think so.
Man, I don't know.
I'm going to get fired. Brent's going to be here next week, and I'm not going to be here.
You're not going to live it down.
It's true.
So this next segment we've titled Tips, Tricks, and Tools, and it's a segment that just focuses on more some practical things that we can begin to do or continue to do as worship leaders, as members of production teams. And so, Becky, we were talking earlier about just some really simple practical things that I think, and I think you think this too, are really, really important. So share a little of your perspective on this whole segment of tips, tricks, and tools. What's something you want to share with our listeners today?
Yeah. Boy, there's so much out there that you can find in this realm that I think is really helpful. But I kind of joked around with David a little bit, like something that maybe isn't a tip, trick, tool, but is super effective is, you know, the concept of growing your own. Find somebody in youth group, young adult, middle school, and like let them come to your rehearsals, play guitar with them, play drums with them. And even if you know, even if they never make it on your team, you're still investing in them as a musician. I'm reaping the benefits of that in the worship arts program. Like, you know, Chris, you're somebody, there's a student in my program who you've known for years and you've been a mentor for years. And like, would he be where he is if, you know, like just those questions that you ask yourself. So I just think that's super important, especially also the next generation of worshipers. They're pretty great and they're pretty on fire for authenticity, but also holiness. And it's just, it's really cool to see. So I would mention that and then tell them, you know, they can go to college for a little cheaper if they play instruments and stuff. Yeah. That too.
So. It's true.
So I was at the coffee shop this morning before coming in to record this, and I ran into one of your students, and they're learning this art of growing your own and out of necessity a little bit.
Yep.
She's working part-time at a smaller church, and when she took the job this summer, they were like college students and quite a few people involved. Well, then all of those people went back to college. And so she was telling me this morning, she said, I've got like a couple like older people that play piano and guitar. And then I've got some high school kids that are like really excited.
Yeah.
But they're not, I mean, they're still learning, right?
Yeah.
And so she said, I'm really putting a lot of emphasis and trying to figure out how to do this on those high school students, building a relationship, creating opportunity for them to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, and maybe that's through your coaching. I don't know, or maybe it's just out of necessity. I think for her, she's like,
for sure.
I don't have people. I've got to find people
who
are interested and maybe have potential.
Yeah.
And there's something really important for all of us to remember in that, because somebody probably did that for us. I know they did it for me.
Same.
Where they saw something in me and they were like, hey, I heard you singing. You should like sing this song.
Yeah.
You like to play guitar? Here, let me.
Right.
I had somebody loan me a guitar.
Yeah.
Hey, let me just give you this. I'll give you a couple lessons. And that's how I got started. So for a lot of young leaders, that's how they start. So grow your own. It's such good. Yeah. That's a very good tip, I think.
Well, I think too, like the benefit that maybe we didn't talk about is the dialogue, you know, some of the conversations. Mm-hmm. So I think there is the side of like, when you're younger in a church, you kind of feel like you almost kind of have to stay in this box and having the conversation be like, hey, I know it might feel like that sometime, but like, that's like, it's good to be aware that you can kind of go outside that box. Like be the one in service that you're raising your hands and lifting and singing out and stuff like that. But then it's that other side of the dialogue too, where you're allowing them to ask questions or maybe even be like, yeah, why do you do that? You shouldn't do that. You should, like, for them to be like, dude, you need to do that more. Like, why don't you do that more? Right. And then you're like, well, sometimes in our church, I feel like I have to do this. We're like, no, do it. And then you can have the younger, you know, they can give you that added confidence sometimes.
Yeah.
But just that dialogue, that's where I think it's great in that process too, because I mean, if we all go back to ours, like that's, it's somebody believing you, but then also somebody saved that you can ask questions so that whether you're in it now or later, you'd be like, man, I'm in this situation. Like I still call one of my former youth pastors who led worship and like, you know, it might not be every week, but there are times where like, man, I'd love to talk to you and just catch up and talk shop or just talk about like what's, here's the situation I'm facing. What are you doing in your context and stuff like that? So
for sure. No, that's really good. And also that's just, it does not just happen. Like you really, that's the big thing is like, it's sacrifice and it's inconvenient and it's going to disrupt your process, your normal, you know, Tuesday's my scheduling day, Wednesday's my meeting day. And then I have rehearsal that night, you know, it's just going to mess with that, but it's worth it.
Yeah, for sure.
Tenfold.
Yeah. And you have to be, I think the thing that is really important to remember in this is to be intentional.
Yeah.
And I think there's two sides of it. Being intentional, like set up a time when you actually are talking with that person or you're, or like help get them. If you can't get them to the next level, help them know where to go.
Right.
That could be going to YouTube or it could be going to the local like music store where they give lessons or somebody in your church, you know, helping just connect those young leaders, young musicians, young vocalists to somebody that can help them grow.
Yeah.
If you're not that person.
Yeah.
Somebody's just got to be the middle person.
Yeah.
So I think that's super, super helpful. Or you could, so there's the intentional side, but then there's also just the stuff that's caught but not taught, you know, like the relational like things where they're just observing you. So I think for us as leaders, remember that we are modeling for those individuals. And so there's a lot that's taught, but then there's a lot that's just caught through.
And that's hard for leaders because you're like, I remember the first time I fully understood that maybe like young women were looking at me as somebody like, oh, I can do that, you know? And I remember that, like, it was overwhelming.
The weight of that, right?
The weight of that, just be like, oh. And a good leader is not going to be like, I'm someone worth following. You know, they're just not, that's usually not how it works.
Right.
So, to remind yourself, like, weird as it is, they like me in some, or they respect me in some regard, and offering help in that. Because I think, it's just worth it. And the in teaching, you know, young adults in this realm over the last 4 years, it's time and time and time again, it's in my wonder that I said, like, they oftentimes have not had someone say, I see it in you, and I'm willing to walk with you as you figure it out. Like, you're not going to be great tomorrow, you know? And matter of fact, you're probably never going to be great, but are you willing to do the work? And I'm going to keep giving you opportunity if I see that. Yeah. And that means a lot, you know, because I was not, you know, for reference, I'm a vocalist. And so, like, I was not the vocalist I was 10 years ago in college. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know anything. So, you know.
Yeah. So for the listener out there today, find a practical way. The encouragement is find a practical way to grow your own. Figure out what that looks like in your context, in your church, in your ministry. This is something that whether you're a large or small church, a large or small ministry, progressive or traditional, none of that matters. Like, do this intentionally. Invest in the next generation of leaders. Grow your own. The practical thing, I thought this is what you were going to mention earlier. The practical thing is down the road, it often benefits you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, you'll have a drummer that you gave some, you invested in, you empowered, and, you know, they go off to college and they come back. And if you're at the church long enough, they get married and they settle in, and they're like one of your rocks on your team.
Yeah.
And it started because somebody believed in them when they were 15 or 16 or 12 and gave them an opportunity. And then they're 25, 30, 60 still serving the church. So grow your own. That's a very, very good, I think, tip. You mentioned something else. That's kind of interesting. We had some conversation about this. When you're repeating phrases in a song, you know, like there's some songs out there that they say the same thing again and again. You had some thoughts on that. So share a little bit about, unpack that a little bit.
I kind of say if you sing it twice, add something the second time through. You need to give it, like if you're going to sing it twice, there's a reason for that. And you shouldn't sing it the same way, right? My example is Bless God, which we'll talk about later probably. But this is
a Brooke Lidgertwood song, right?
Yeah. So like, oh Jesus, all for your glory. And she sings it again. Oh, it's a good old tag. Jesus, all for your glory into the chorus. Well, if you sing those the same way, like, I don't know, it doesn't take the song anywhere. It doesn't take the story anywhere. It doesn't encourage me to engage even more. And so I just say, like, add a little trick the second time. Do a little, like, vocal, deviance is the wrong word.
Maybe an ad-lib?
Yeah.
Like, kind of add something in?
Yeah, deviate the melody a little. I think that's what I'm trying to say. So, an example. Oh, Jesus, all for your glory. Oh, Jesus, all for your glory. It's not much, but it's going to, if you sing it differently, they might think about it a little more.
Dude, Becky just set a bar for Brent. Like he's never sung from that seat.
Oh
like,
my goodness!
Do you think Brent can actually sing?
Brent, I do not endorse this message.
You know, I know he can play guitar, but
play acoustic and electric. I've actually never heard him sing.
Yeah,
that's not true. Brent, I'm sorry, I have heard you sing.
Yeah,
but the next time he's on, he's gonna have to do that. The bar has been raised.
Oh my goodness!
Upgrade right here. So I'm just saying,
he's gonna have to sing Oceans next time he's on. In the female key.
Oh, see? Look at that. She's upgraded. She's upgraded her upgrade. She's thrown down the gauntlet, man. It's just saying, listeners, wait for the next episode that Brent's on. We're gonna make sure that he does
He's singing falsetto next week.
Yeah.
or in a couple weeks, yeah. whenever he's
We'll see
back.
If he can hit that high.
We'll see if he comes back. He may never come back.
My goodness. Oh, my word.
We have to downgrade? That doesn't seem like... I thought we're trying to keep upgrading.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Right. But no, sorry, Becky. That was a little deviation. But
you're fine.
I thought that was great. Like,
you messed us up. You deviated.
Yeah, it's your fault.
But no, I think that is great because, I mean, again, it's kind of that mixture between, you know, people that are listening on the radio to something the whole time, and then it's that ability to kind of make it your own as a team, too. And so it's you know, it's being aware of that, whether it's vocally or even like, you know, when the congregation is used to a song, then you're able to maybe even deviate a little bit more.
Yeah.
Whether it is vocally or musically, but then it adds that different flavor of, oh man, sometimes you hear like, I really like how you guys did that.
Yeah.
And it also gives people like the flexibility to kind of then even in their own as a worshiper from the seats to feel that freedom to kind of divert and not always feel, you know, that it's kind of the same and just to it allows that expressiveness in a different way, even in worship. So yeah,
no,
I appreciate
sure.
that.
Yeah. And vocals are so mental. I think people don't understand how even just like, I think I saw John Mayer. He's not a vocal. He is. He's great. He sings, and guitarist. But like he talked about like all those weird faces he makes. He's like visualizing the note and where it goes. So he's not thinking like, I need to play like, right? But he's thinking of like how it sits in like the atmosphere in the room. Like it's so, I know it sounds crazy, but I think that is relevant here. And vocals, for me, I think of them like that too. So like you have to, an example, if you know a high note's coming, right? If you know a big octave pop is coming, you're going to have to hold that note, right?
Take a breath. I lift my eyebrows.
Yes. It's physical, but then I always tell people, I'm like, you know, visualize the feeling of going downstairs, how you're just like going down the stairs casual versus going up the stairs. You're like, ooh, okay. We approach that note like we're going upstairs.
Yeah.
You need to think about it like going downstairs. So it's like, oh no, it's easy. And you will be surprised how your brain's like, yeah, you're right. It's easy. And then you'll sing maybe how you've never sung it before because you're visualizing an ease. With something that is actually very difficult to do, right?
Yeah.
I'm a nerd. There's a whole podcast on this about vocals. So.
I love it.
A little thing that I would add on to that, I think is this is very specific about hitting high notes. I had a vocal coach tell me this a long time ago. The first time you sing that note should not be when you sing that note.
Yeah.
So that's the importance of vocal warm-ups, doing some simple stuff so that even your brain knows if you warm up well, and you kind of run through some stuff on the scale or you know, just you can do simple things that then psychologically your brain goes, I've already hit that note today. I know I can get there.
Yeah,
So the first time you sing that note shouldn't be when you're singing the song and you go for it.
Yeah.
Repeating a phrase, taking a little bit of liberty. One thought on that. I think know your culture is also
correct.
In the context is really, really important.
For sure.
Because I've also sang on teams with people where I go, how do I help them sing the song like it's written?
Yeah, let's rein you in.
Because they're just going all over the place. And you go, okay, like no one can follow you because you're taking too much creative freedom and creative liberty. Like sing the song like it's written so people can follow you. So I think there's probably a tension to be managed in that. Like freshen it a little bit, but don't go so far. Don't color so far outside the lines that people aren't able to follow you because I don't even know what song you're singing anymore. So there's a balance there, I think.
Yeah, I would say maybe, as you were talking, in my mind, this came up, but a prime example might be like, you know, the Star Spangled Banner. Like,
I was just going to say that, Chris.
No way!
And I have a whole tangent
upgrade!
The Star Spangled Banner.
But yeah, I mean, like...
Star Sprangled? Star
okay. All right, hey, bong.
The Sprangish Banner.
But
the national anthem, some would say.
There you go. The national anthem. That's correct. But yeah,
banner.
Like, you know, sometimes, you know, once you're at a sporting, we've totally lost Dave. Dave's gone.
Bye.
But
Chris, it's you and I. All right, let's go.
We're running the show. But yeah, I mean, like, I remember seeing just a couple weeks ago, I think it was on a news, you know, news thing, like somebody was going to sing the national anthem and they botched it.
It was bad. Yeah.
Like real bad. And then a cuss word came out and then.
Oh yeah.
Did you? Yeah. You see that one? Yeah. But it was like.
We can all relate though to that moment when you're like, I messed up.
Sure. Sure. But like, again, you don't want the first time you sing that note to be when you're going live.
Yeah.
But also like sometimes there's like for a song like that.
Yes.
If you can't sing it kind of the normal way first.
Correct.
Then just leave good enough alone until you get to that place. Because I think like sometimes Super Bowl, things like that, I'm like, seriously, why are they doing all these ad-libs and runs? Just sing the song. Like, you know, that's just me. But
there are people sitting in our again, culture and context. I mean, you may be in a church setting where that is normal and like half the congregation does it with you.
Yeah.
But understand your context, and if that isn't the context, you have to be wise in how much you change it and when. I think it's really important to sing a song. This is just my opinion, like kind of how it's written for a while until your congregation is pretty accustomed to it.
Yeah,
right.
Because inadvertently it can become a distraction. It.
Yeah, right.
You don't want distractions.
You're trying to minimize and avoid distractions in worship. So,
but when there's normalcy, when people feel like, oh yeah, or familiarity, I guess is maybe the better word, but then making those you know ad libs and things like that, then it doesn't throw people as well
because
again, part of your leading, and so when people get to the place where it's like man, I know this, and those little things here and there,
right,
or even the spontaneity, you know, spontaneous moments, then.
Yeah.
Aren't distracting. They just, they kind of help color natural. It more. Yeah. It comes natural. Yeah.
I think the national anthem is a good example. Sorry to bring it back to that. Let's put it right back to worship songs.
Yeah.
My theory, the national anthem is actually a very difficult song to sing.
Yeah.
In general. Like, and so if you can't sing it by itself like that, then we shouldn't be ad-libbing. Same for worship. Like if you have trouble singing the song, we shouldn't be focusing on adding our embellishments to tell the story. We should be focusing on how we sing the song correctly.
Learning the song, yeah.
But with a national anthem, I do feel you get one or two tricks to spice it up.
Yeah.
Like for me, mine is like, "We're so gallantly," I go, instead of "streaming," I go, "We're so gallantly streaming." That's what I do to like...
make it your own little
pizzazz.
A little spice.
I like kazaa. I don't know what kazaa is, but
seasoning.
Same thing with worship, right? Like you get two tricks. Just tell yourself that. Like I get two tricks, but also singing this song in its original form is enough because it is a difficult song.
Yeah.
Some worship songs are actually very difficult because they stay on the same note for a long time.
And maybe it's high or maybe it could be low. But
or it's in your weird mid-range. Yep, you're like, this is fine. You're like, oh God, this is hard. Yeah. So just thinking about it like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, really good.
I have a final tip, though, just so you know, that we can come to at the end. It's very quick.
Great. Well, the only thing I would add on to that is we talked about this earlier, how important it is to know the song.
Yes.
It's only after you kind of know the song that you then become comfortable with the song and probably comfortable enough that you can add in an extra trick or two along the way. So let's go to your other tip right here.
Yeah.
That's okay.
For vocalists, T is really great. For longevity, but what you need to consider is Lay's potato chips, original, yellow bag.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the weirdest thing when I heard that, but I agree.
I just want to make it more well known. Like when I was in ministry at a big church, we had 7 to 10 Christmas Eve services. I sang O Holy Night in that key, doing all that. And I made it through because I ate a whole bag of Lay's potato chips and like the grease.
The family size. You had the family size bag.
For sure. I can do that by myself without all that, but I felt good that it was an excuse. But for real, put it in your green room budget.
That's right. A little bit of the salt, a little bit of the oil. The oil coats your throat.
Mm-hmm. It'll help you.
I thought it was the weirdest thing when I read that, and I was like, and then I tried it, and I was like, dude.
It worked. This Christmas Eve services, it worked in like a 8-hour tracking studio day, tracking vocals, you know, like it'll do it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. So that segment we've titled Trips.
Uh-oh.
Tips, tricks, and tools.
Yep.
Man, that's hard to say.
It's a fun word day for you, Dave.
Tips, tricks, and tools. Thanks for sharing, Becky. We're going to share a little bit more about some songs here. Super Song of the Week. This is a segment where we take a moment to just kind of remember either some new songs that are maybe really connecting to us as worship leaders, or hopefully to our church and congregation, or it could even be an old song. So it's not just a brand new song. Mm. The Super Song of the Week. What's a song that has been connecting to either you, your heart, Becky, or to the people you're leading?
Yeah. Jesus Freak by DC Talk. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm not going to lie. I listened to, in the last 2 weeks, I did listen to that song. It was such a throwback.
That's a great album. Why is that? Why are we ashamed of that?
Oh,
I still
so
listen.
Good.
I'll bop to them all day.
I love it.
Them and Michael W. Smith. Place in This World.
Who? Oh, dude. Boy. Yeah, for King and Country's new version of it, it's pretty good too.
But not as good as
well,
the full Smith. 80s Michael W.
MWS,
Smith.
MWS, man. I mean, he's the stuff. That's true.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, but for real, what was your question?
Is there a song? We were talking about this earlier.
Oh,
is there a song
okay.
that maybe it's a newer song that has really been working well in your church context, or you've just it's just connected with you?
Right. It's a both and I was joking about it earlier. It's not just because of the artist lineup coming to Refuel Conference, but Made for More, Josh Baldwin, I think Bethel Music with them, the Jen Johnson one, where they do it live together.
Yeah,
I like that version, the duet.
Me too. We're doing it, my students travel to youth group, so we're doing it there. Resonates, students love it. We do ministry concerts at Bethel with the university choir, and we go to any kind of church, and they love it. And then also at my church, they love it. And I think there's something to that song. Yes, the lyrics, the theology, all that, but also there is something to a fun song to play and sing.
Yeah.
And I think he's captured all of it. And I think it's just,
it's got some
it's
good
great.
dynamic builds,
yep.
you know, in and out.
A little cuts. Challenging musicianship in the third verse, you know, that you know?
Walk, yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think we've mentioned that a couple times on the podcast too, and not because Josh is coming to Refuel. I mean, we're super stoked that he's coming and accepted that you know invitation.
Yeah.
So I hope for those that have been like it's been resonating for them maybe personally as a worship volunteer leader or whatever, or just in the congregations that'll be like a special kind of add this year with Josh coming. But
for sure,
it's been meaningful in a lot of ways. I know for me personally as a worship leader in our congregation too. So
We've incorporated it over the last couple of months and seems to be connecting well. This is you were talking about how songs can be hard to sing a little bit.
Yep.
That song, the range of it on the bridge.
Yeah.
Is kind of it's
I'll
kind of
even more. Oh, it's an octave.
It's like dropping down and going way up. So I have to be very thoughtful and cut off at a certain point so I can get a little breath so I can hit that low note.
Yep.
So just fun little.
And eat your lays. In the morning.
And eat your Lays.
And eat my Lays.
Lays for breakfast.
And drink my throat coat.
Sponsored by Lays.
Sponsored by
chips.
Lays. I would love that. No, I have a student that runs it down. So he's like, I'm made for more, so hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh. I was like, that's smart. Good for you.
Interesting. Yeah. So we've been doing that one as well. That's worked really well. It's working pretty well.
Yeah.
It's still, I think, a little on the newer side. I think we've done it 4 times in our services. Yeah. So it's just, I think, getting to the point where most of our people, I think,
are pretty familiar.
Yeah. Are familiar with it. The nice thing about that song is that it really is a verse, chorus, bridge song.
It's great. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have 2 verses or 3 verses, so you get a chance to repeat it. So it's pretty fairly accessible, I think.
It is.
Overall. So
yeah.
Now you mentioned another song that you like and you're a big fan of this.
She's got a big smile on her face right now.
I love this song.
Can't she almost got
hear
a little
see her in the person.
She's got a little giddy.
Yeah.
this is one of your I don't know if it's your favorite artist, but some of you appreciate and look up to.
Sure.
So this is another song. Share about this new song. It's called
I love
10,000 Reasons.
It's a brand new song called Mighty to Save.
Dude, I love that riff.
Me too.
Oh, sorry.
Oh my gosh. My students did Shout to the Lord. Like they just like
shout
went there.
To the
and that song
Lord.
Will still make me just weep.
Oh,
I'm just like. Anyway, the song is actually called Bless God by Brooke. How do you say your last name?
Lidgert.
I love her, but I don't know how to Lidgert say her last name.
Lidgert. That's what I've heard. Yeah. I think I've heard her pronounce it that way.
It's Bless God. There's a lot of different arrangements. I like the Passion arrangement. It's her, Cody Carnes and Brandon Lake. But she also has Bless God - Every Chance I Get. That's a good arrangement. But I love it. I love it. It's very...
What are the contexts that you're doing that song in?
Sure. Chapel at Bethel.
At Bethel University.
And church as well.
Yeah.
So I think I love, in the room at my church, I was telling these guys that I love, well, the verses are very Beatitudes, right? And I love, I don't think I've had a song where we sing it kind of overtly.
Yeah.
Like that. I love the concept of like, blessed are those. I think that's such a beautiful posture in worship. But then the chorus, it's inviting everybody, come on and praise the Lord with me, saying, come on with me, sing if you've known his grace or sing if you love his name. That's such a great blanket. Everybody can come. It's not too specific, even of like, your direct sin has been forgiven. Like, it's just more like, yeah, if you love him and if you've remembered his grace for you and the people you love, like, let's just sing this together.
It can be a very inviting.
Yeah, it's an inviting, pure, simple song that I love.
Yeah, we would, a few weeks ago, we talked about kind of some strategies that we employ as we plan worship services and worship sets.
Yeah.
And that song, even though it's not like 120 BPM sort of song,
right,
the message of the song fits in the category of gathering songs.
Right.
It reminds us corporately, here's why we're here again,
mm-hmm,
and invites people in to sing praise.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Whether you're a sinner or saint. I mean, yeah, you know, like in that, whether you just, somebody comes off the street to be able to walk in, and whether they know little or nothing about God, it's just that inviting, like,
yeah,
if you have any awareness of who God is,
mm-hmm,
you know, if you've ever just, you know, if you've gone to VBS and heard his name, like it's that nice call,
yeah,
to just lift your voice with us.
And I think that, if I may, this is a little, it's not a tangent, but I think that congregations, people coming to church, I think we need that reminder these days.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. Like more than ever, like, why are we actually doing this? Why the sound? Why the band? Why the lyrics? Why all this stuff? Like, why are we doing this? Because it's so normalized and stuff. And so I think that a song like this kind of invites that posture of worship again,
mm-hmm,
of just lifting our voice. We're here because we love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where you're standing in the room, we love the Lord.
Well, it sort of, I think it helps gathering songs tend to help recenter us and remind us again why we're why we're there. Because I think, you know, for us, our experience coming into a Sunday morning is probably different,
mm-hmm,
than the average person that walks into our church, right?
Yeah.
We're thinking about, you know, when we get up in the morning, we're thinking about the songs, the services.
Yep.
Most people aren't. Like, they're getting up, they're grabbing breakfast,
trying to get out of the house,
worried about this, mm-hmm, they're trying to grab that, they're talking about what they got to do then, you know, after service, or mm-hmm, maybe they got in a fight, or they're worried about finances, or whatever it might be, and then they show up and they got to rush maybe they got kids and rushing them off to the kids ministry, or whatever it is, you know, and they're coming in, like, not really 100% there yet, and so that gathering song, it just kind of like levels the playing field for everybody and reminds us all, here's why we're here.
Right.
Here's who our God is. Come on, let's do this together. Let's worship the King of Kings together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that can be done through a song, maybe encouragement, but I think that song serves that purpose really, really well.
Yep. Absolutely.
So we can talk about more songs, new songs, old songs, mm-hmm, but, I think Becky has something she wants to share with us in a segment we title Word for the Week.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, the context of this is that I'm still kind of working this out of like how to actually articulate what I'm feeling for Word of the Week. But just in my experience, like I said, I mentioned I'm stepping into ministry again after a season of being away. And frankly, like a season of hurt, a season of healing, all of that. And so I'm stepping back into this world, like one toe at a time, being like, this is okay. This is okay. Yes, this is okay. And so just there's two verses that kind of embody this for me. One is, got to find it, in 1 Corinthians 11. And it's talking about like the culture of worship in a church and prayer language and why we gather, the unity of the church body. And then combining that with Exodus 17, where you know, Moses is raising his hands for the victory of Israel, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he has to have his hands up for a long time, mm-hmm. like a long time, because if he put them down, you know, like they would lose. Mm-hmm. And so having, you know, Aaron and people on his right and his left holding up his arms. And I'm just finding right now that worship in the room feels like that for me. I've been the person in the room that came and was like, I don't know what to sing. I don't know what to believe. I don't know even why I'm here. Yet I was led by the woman gently raising her hands. I was led by the man who was gently raising his hand. I was led more by them than the people on stage because it was complicated for me, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess the power of the body of Christ singing worship together and how encouraging that is for our souls. Being the one who has led the thing, but also being the one who is in the room being led. In a lot of ways, when I didn't know how to lead myself, nor if I trusted leadership, you know? And so it's that word of the week, maybe an encouragement to know that that's what you're doing. And like, week in and week out, these are people that sometimes some of them need their hands held up to help them believe, to increase their faith. Yeah. And some people are like, I got my own hands, but I'll sing loud for you.
Yeah.
And that for me, oh my goodness, is the church. That is what worship is more so for me these days than necessary. Sometimes it can just be a song to sing, and that's great. But that's the meaning it's taking on. So it may be encouragement of, that's what you're doing every week. You just might not know it.
Yeah. Well, and I think even, you know, before we got on air, you know, I think you and Dave kind of talked about this whole idea of like, sometimes we lean on, what the congregation gives us because sometimes we get up, you know, and maybe we've had a bad week and we've got to put our game face on. And, and so a song that we're singing, we may not fully believe at that moment, you know, not that we don't believe the song or the context,
But that's real,
but that's real. And so unknowingly those who sit in, you know, our congregations, when they sing, they do lift us up. And sometimes we forget that. And we forget just that realization of like, you know what, like as we're going through that, and so I wouldn't even say necessarily going through the motions, even though sometimes maybe we have to in that, but it's seeing, hearing the congregation come in that then uplifts our spirit. Mm-hmm. And when you guys were talking about that, I'm like, dude, that's so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Becky, I appreciate you sharing that and just authentically, like, mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people that can relate to that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, David and myself, you know, there's been times that I'd say that was us too. And so thanks for articulating that for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to applaud your willingness to walk this journey back towards loving the church.
Yeah.
After, you know, stepping out of a season that was really hard and, you know, we don't need to go into that necessarily, mm-hmm. but I think there are people that relate to that.
For sure.
There are people that relate to like, this didn't end well at the church I was at before. And mm-hmm. do I ever want to do this again? And
I told God I never wanted to do again.
Yeah.
And, right. Like, yeah.
Absolutely. That's the dangerous thing.
It is. Yeah. Man.
But I want to applaud your willingness to slowly walk this journey and to be obedient to the little promptings along the way, mm-hmm. allowing God to kind of put the pieces back together for you and then to step in to mm-hmm. kind of put your toes in the water and step back into leadership and to use the gifts that God has given you, not just in a classroom at Bethel University, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think what you're doing to invest in young worship leaders, musicians, guitar players, singers is amazing. And so like if you're out there today and you're somebody getting ready to go to college, or you have a child or a grandchild that's looking for that, like consider Bethel University. It's a great option. Mm-hmm. And so consider Bethel University, whether you have someone that's interested in worship or another program, consider Bethel University. We love them. They're an incredible partner with us in our Refuel Conference. So I want to applaud, but I want to applaud your step of faith and obedience in that. And then the other thing that I just would add to it would be, I think I have, Chris, stood in that. We've all stood in that moment where I'm leading. I have the responsibility to lead, but it's really hard to lead.
Yep.
And something happens as the church sings, even for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's something that happens like peer to peer, like as someone is mm-hmm. sitting in the congregation and they hear you sing and they go like, man, that person, I know what they're going through. And the fact that they can sing encourages.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But I remember when you shared that, I remember specific moments. I heard that my dad had been diagnosed with cancer, brain cancer. And the pastor had asked me, it was like the week later, the pastor had asked me to lead at the close of the message, the song Waymaker. This has been about 3-4 years ago now. Yep. And I remember going like, I got to sing this song. And I'm going like, God, are you the Waymaker?
Yeah.
I know in my mind you are, but like right now it's really hard to sing. You're the Waymaker, the Promise Keeper, mm-hmm. the light in the darkness. Mm-hmm. Feels pretty foggy right now.
Yeah.
But something happened. And I specifically remember in our first service, like, the room sang that song declaring that truth. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't sing.
Yeah.
And I remember at one point just saying, would you just sing this to the Lord today? Did you declare this truth to him today? And I just kind of had to sit and soak in it and go, yeah, I was reminded by the people I was leading that this is still true.
Yeah.
Yep. Regardless of what I'm feeling or find myself in the middle of, this is still true. Absolutely. And sometimes we have the opportunity to be that for somebody to lead them.
Yeah.
And other times, even as worship leaders.
Yeah.
We need to allow the congregation to lead us and allow God to use the congregation to minister to our spirits as well sometimes.
And what those moments do is it just levels whatever stage you're on.
Yeah.
Like it, and I agree, part of the worship leader's role, I believe, worship pastor's role is to kind of step into that place for people and say, I'll help you believe this. Yep. I will help give you language around this to believe it for yourself. But we're humans and life is super hard and sometimes and complex. And so when we let them do it, then the stage kind of melts away and we're all just singing this collective song to the Lord, whether we know how to believe it right now or not.
Yeah,
and that's the unity. I think that's kingdom. I think that's church. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Becky, I want to thank you for being with us and joining us today. I do want to just reminder, like Dave, we kind of joked around this last week as we were getting ready to sign off, but we did have a deadline for Refuel Conference. It just passed. However, there is an opportunity for you if you apply the code BlackFriday25. You get 10% off.
Yep.
We'd love for you to join us again. We're all just worship leaders around the table. Like, we're excited for other worship leaders and teams to join us. And so we'd love for you to not miss that opportunity to join us for that. Dave, I don't know if you want to say any more about that before we sign off here for the week.
Yeah. So go to refuelconference.com to get the full rundown of what's happening. That Black Friday 25 code is good through November 30th.
November 30th.
So just through November
30th.
So mark your calendar. Make sure you get some tickets before then. Use that code. You can also email us at refuel@nmc.church. refuel@nmc.church. And if you didn't catch that code, we can send that to you as well. Or message us, DM us on the socials as well.
Well, I'll make sure we put that on the episode description. Again, we'd love to hear from you too. If you have some questions or things you'd like us to maybe dialogue about here on the podcast, we'd love to take that in. So I think it's the same email. Is that correct?
That's right.
So make sure you do that. We'd love to dialogue and see if there's conversations we can continue around this table that maybe help others. So.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it's been great to be together. Becky, as Chris already said, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. You're so welcome. Such an upgrade.
Yeah. It is.
Brent, I'm sorry.
Brent. Maybe she should just come back next week. Now, actually, on next week, we have another friend, another gal from our leadership team. Her name is Marquito. So Marquito's going to come. She's going to be joining us.
You're in for a treat.
She'll be sitting in that chair. Becky may just have to come back, if not next week. Another
definitely again.
Definitely again.
I'm just going to drop in. Uninvited, show up. On the rig.
Love it.
Yes. So
play some Jesus Freak as you do it.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thanks again, everybody, for joining us. And until next time, stay encouraged and stay connected.